Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPietro and Rothenberg.
Where do you think Kevin Durant winds up when this is all said and done?
The Miami Heat seek stars. They absolutely will be getting involved in this.
And the other team that is going to be involved are the Phoenix Suns.
He wants to be in Phoenix. That's his number one choice right now.
Kevin Durant is one of the 10 or 12 best players in the history of basketball. He's signed for the next 4 years, and he's about to be traded to another team. There are very few moments in the history of the NBA, frankly, that are bigger than this.
This is DPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes, it is DPietro and Rothenberg on a Friday. We have reached July, people. We have reached NBA free agency, and what a day. It is Gordon Damer. It is Don Grasso filling in for the R&R boys who are in full effect. They are already on vacation, as you knew that they would be. It's the summertime, so don't go looking in this time slot for both Rick and Dave, because they're going to be off on vacation. And Dan, don't go looking in Brooklyn for Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant anytime soon, because it's only a matter of time before both are gone. An end of an era. It almost feels like we should have come back with like a Sarah McLachlan type musical tribute to the end of an epic 3 years for the Brooklyn Nets.
In the arms of an angel or something like that, mm-hmm. Something sad and weepy.
I will remember you.
Was it over the weekend? I know, like last week, remember Damian Lillard posted, I guess, a picture on his Instagram with him, yep, and Kevin Durant side by side, both wearing Blazers uniforms? Like, maybe Dame knew something that now we're all finding out could potentially become reality. Because, I mean, I guess Portland could be an option, right? Portland seems like they have the necessary cap space. Now, I don't know their draft pick situation right now and what assets, I mean, you know, that you could possibly send over that would satisfy the Nets' wants. But I think just from pure basketball, a KD Dame Lillard tandem in the Western Conference. I know it's obscure. It's out in Portland, the Great Northwest. I think that would be intriguing, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and I would think for the Brooklyn Nets that Portland should be. If you own your draft picks, that moves you to the front of the line, because you're never going to get talent back for talent. And I think if you're Sean Marks, you realize that this is going to have to be to avoid NBA purgatory of we're not going to have a high pick. And we don't have our picks anyway, but right, we're not going to certainly be contending for anything. We're just going to kind of be in the middle. We're going to win our 30 games a year. And I think you're going to have to look to get a bunch of draft picks and at least kind of control your future to make up for the mess that your organization now finds itself in. And to me, it's going to be a couple of days before I'm ready to. I know that the first thing everybody jumps to is, well, Kevin Durant, he's going to Phoenix. I still have to kind of take a step back and just appreciate the destruction, mm-hmm, of an NBA franchise in the Brooklyn Nets, and think about that it comes on the day, the same day that they announced that they were going to Brooklyn. I'm kind of racking my brain. Every once in a while, we will get something that is billed as one thing and it turns out to be another. Like, it's billed to be, oh, this is going to be the next great thing, and you get absolutely no bang for your buck. When you come up with that list of things that fail to live up to what the expectation was, the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving pairing in Brooklyn and how they won one playoff series in 3 years and then hightailed it out of there, it's going to be very high up on the list. It's hard to come up with another organization or another team that can top it.
What's like an epic all-time movie bomb that like had so much hype going in, like a tremendous budget, and then just completely flopped to like catastrophic proportions?
The one that comes to mind, and I don't think that I ever saw it, but because it was a big pairing in Dustin Hoffman.
Ishtar.
That's the one that comes to mind. The Nets are NBA's Ishtar.
Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman, Ishtar.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's the first one that I think of. And, you know, I was using the analogy of the TV shows. The Nets last 3 years is like the last season of Game of Thrones. It just completely fell apart. And I can understand, you know, I'm sure that there will be the reaction today. Well, you know, the Nets should have known that this was going to happen. The Nets should have seen this coming. I can see how the Nets got into it. And I can see each step along the way of, yeah, this kind of makes it. Yeah, there are issues with it. There are problems with it. There are issues and problems with bringing Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and turning over the complete organization to them. There's problems with firing the coach and bringing in a coach who's got no experience. There's problems with moving all the pieces that you did to bring in James Harden. There's problems with getting rid of James Harden and bringing in Ben Simmons. But each step along the way, it's like you just kept getting yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into it because you were trying to salvage that quest for a championship. And now you didn't get the quest for the championship. You didn't even really get close to the quest for the championship. And now you look around and you are just sunk. Now you're just stuck. And the two guys who got you in that position, they're going to skedaddle out of town. They're going to be off to their next stop. And you're going to have to deal with the ramifications of what they brought up for your organization.
And you know what people tend to forget, too, about, like, this isn't exactly uncharted territory for them. Like, they were in this boat not too long ago. Remember, when Kenny Atkinson was hired to essentially babysit this franchise for the first couple of years while they got their bearings under them, while they acquired all of these picks and, you know, built the so-called culture that they talked about. Remember, Nets went, like, 3 years after all the old, you know, Kevin Garnett and Pearson, they moved on from those guys, and that experiment failed. They didn't even crack 30 wins for like 3 straight years. They were a disaster. So now they find themselves in that situation again, and you're like, boy, you know, are we going to stick to the plan this time, or are we going to abandon ship like we did this past rebuild where we basically sold out completely while we had KD and Kyrie, but then we traded all those picks to get James Harden, and that really drove the wedge into the culture that we developed. It's just, it's really a mess right now, and you almost got to think, you know, we were talking about earlier in the show, like, the people that are in charge there, Sean Marks is there. Like, is this something that he really wants to be part of the undertaking now, to have to deal with this aggravation and the slow, perhaps painful process of even getting back to respectability again? I don't know if he's up for that.
You know what would take this story, and it's already a sensational story. It's absolutely delicious. All of a sudden today, I don't know, maybe 1:30, the Nets announced that Steve Nash has stepped down and the Nets are bringing back Kenny Atkinson. I mean, if there's one guy that's going to be able to walk you through the purgatory that you're about to be in, you know he can do it. He had a chance to be a coach. He turned it down. He went back to Golden State. Bring him on back. You know what? Mistakes were made, Kenny. Let's remedy those mistakes and let's get back on the path we were on before the two superstars came calling.
Only if you can really have the dynamic duo pairing of Kenny Atkinson as the head coach, and you got to bring back Billy King to be the general manager. You got to give me that one.
He might be available.
Bring him back.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know how you can take this story to the next level, but that would be one of them. All of a sudden, the Nets announce, you know what? We made a mistake. We screwed up by getting rid of Kenny Atkinson. Things have not been right since. Let's bring him on back. Let's bring him home.
But no, what's the team right now? Like if you're a team out there right now and somebody's going to get him. I don't know who, but somebody's going to end up with Kyrie Irving because he's a separate entity from Kevin Durant. I know that they're joined at the hip here in Brooklyn, but like you think about their paths the last 3 years, I think Kyrie has done a heck of a lot more to tarnish his reputation than Durant has. But what team, after witnessing everything that has gone on with Kyrie specifically over the last few years, and I'm lumping Boston into that too, from what happened to him while he was there, who in their right mind looks at the Kyrie Irving situation and A, has faith that he's going to actually be committed to helping my team win, and B, actually can take this guy seriously and think, yep, that's the missing piece that we need. That's the guy that we're going to turn over our basketball team to and say, help take us where we want to go. Like, who would do that at this point?
The only one that makes any sense whatsoever, and I'm not saying that it makes great sense, would be the Lakers, right? You have LeBron there that he thinks that he can keep Kyrie in check, and it's obviously they're coming. Whoever does it is coming from a desperate point of view. You'd have to be desperate to take your shot with him, given all that you already know. So the Lakers are certainly in a desperate situation. They'd love to get back into the playoffs and get one last run with LeBron after what's happened here the last year or so. That's the only one that I think could possibly make sense.
Think about how big of a phony he looks if he goes to the Lakers, Kyrie. Because this is a guy who wanted out from LeBron when they had an ideal situation in Cleveland. Now he's going to go basically knocking on LeBron's door. Because Stephen A. reported that he's been calling LeBron and they've been having conversations, kind of kicking the tires about, hey, you want to give this thing another run? Now he's going to go back to LeBron and almost in a way ask him to help salvage and rebuild his career a little bit. This tarnished reputation, which has happened over the last few years. Now he's going back to LeBron and saying, hey, man, do me a solid. Help me out. How about that?
It's like Jerry Maguire. Help me help you.
Help me help you.
It's the only way you can do it. This portion of DiPietro and Rothenberg is presented by Progressive Insurance. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go to Joe is in the Bronx. Joe, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Hey, morning, boys.
Joe, what's going on?
You hear me?
Yeah, we got
hey,
you.
What's going on? So, yeah, you guys are spinning negativity, and I just want to just spin it a little bit positive. So, you know, KD came in. Yeah, we paid him while he was injured, on the mend. He signed. He didn't have to sign. He could just walked away this year, given all the turmoil that was going on. And he signed for 4 years, so he's locked up for 4 years. Now, you know, give the man his you know, do what Harden did to us, kind of make sure whatever team he goes to, they dismantle that team, and we get picks, and then, to a lesser extent, do the same thing with Kyrie, and kind of clean house and go back to that culture shift. You know, and maybe also Nash got to go also. It just didn't work. So clean house, hit the reset button, and just start all over.
But, Joe, let me ask you a question. You're actually, like, bringing Steve Nash's name up as if he actually has any impact whatsoever, positively or negatively, to what happens with the Steve Nash is a puppet on the sidelines who claps his hands. That's all he is. He's like the adult supervisor at after-school recreation. That's what Steve Nash is.
Exactly. And we could have looked back a couple of years prior when he did the same thing with Jason Kidd. Same exact thing. It was just history repeating itself. So why do it again? You had the developmental guy in Kenny Agassi. I love the guy. And then he got rid of him as soon as KD got healthy.
Well, but Joe, you don't think that Kevin Durant and the superstars on this team had a say in Kenny Atkinson getting fired? You're damn right they did. They ran everything by those guys. So blame Kevin Durant and Kyrie for Kenny Atkinson getting fired.
100%. But now he opted in. So he's giving you a little bit of olive branch, and he's giving an opportunity to kind of rebuild your team. Yeah, I messed up your team. Here you go. Get the best you can from me.
Joe, thank you for the call. Joe, I mean, who cares that he signed the extension last year and it was going to be another four-year kicker? Who cares? If he's not going to be here to even play one game on the new contract, then who the hell cares that he re-upped? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can pledge vows to your wife, this, that. And if you're going to go screw around with somebody else, then how good were those vows? Who the hell cares?
And he didn't do that to help out the Nets. He did that to help out Kevin Durant.
That's it.
I mean, there's no part of Kevin Durant who thought, well, you know what, I'll sign this extension, and then when the Nets trade me before the extension even kicks in, they can get some good draft picks from the Phoenix Suns.
Right. Like, Kevin Durant really is waking up this morning. I don't know if he's up. Maybe he's sleeping in. Who the heck knows? But when Kevin Durant wakes up this morning, do you think Gordon, at any time over the next 24 hours, let's say, or however long Kevin Durant is awake today, to where his brain is actually in use, Do you think he is spending even a fraction of a second concerning himself with what the Brooklyn Nets' future is going to look like?
Not one single moment.
Not an iota.
Not an iota. And just to get back to the Steve Nash point, Steve Nash, in terms of a coach, makes Jason Garrett look like Pat Riley.
Like Vince Lombardi.
Like Vince Lombardi. So let's, you know. And look, Steve Nash, he knew the deal. He knew the deal walking in the door. I don't want to hear any complaints about, you know, it was a really tough situation. He came into a tough spot. You knew that the only reason you got the job was because of your relationship with Kevin Durant. So you don't get to blame anybody on it and plead ignorance when it all went the way it went. You have to just deal with the fact now.
I think that was Kendrick Perkins on the line. I think Joe was telling us a fib. That was Kendrick Perkins, I think.
You know, such a brave decision by Kevin Durant to bail on his team.
I'm done.
Yeah. It's such a brave move. Brave. I don't know that that's the word that I would use to describe it. Brave.
You're one of the top 20 players in the history of your chosen path in life. Okay? There aren't many who have done it better than you in the history of this planet. And yet, because allegedly, we're just speculating here, allegedly, because your franchise did the smart thing, the rational thing, and not decided to join up long term with Kyrie Irving, because what did he ever do for them in return? And that's the reason why you are going to jump ship, supposedly, according to reports, or what we're led to believe, because the organization didn't do right by an employee who did not do right by them. That's weak.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyrie's going to get with Joe and Sean. They're going to run through the plans. Him and Kev.
Yeah.
Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
Oh. Not Ben, though. Ben was left out of the conversation.
Ben did not get the memo. He's not included in the group text. He's like Ben Simmons is like the Santiago. He's on the
Android. Yeah, you grow up.
He's not part of the group text. I can't wait until somebody breaks the news to Ben that this is what's going on. Ben seems like he's pretty checked out.
Ben's living a good life. You know, he's jet setting. He's taking in Liberty games, sitting courtside, cashing those checks. And he knows he's got a home if he wants it come the season.
Yeah, in street clothes on the bench.
He's ramping it up. He's ramping it up.
Yep. It's like me ramping it up to run a marathon. Any day now.
You'll get there.
I'll get there. Oh,
don't sell
sure.
yourself short. You'll get there. You'll get there.
I'm not sure. I don't know that I'm going to. Mainly because I'm not trying. But then again, is Ben?
But again, think about this, though. Obviously it's a disastrous situation. And any like real diehard Net fan looks at this and says to themselves, like they're sitting here trying to figure out how did we get to this point. But if you're a Nick fan, this is nothing but a positive for you. Because, as I said, you cross one team off the list that now you have to supplant if you want to get back to playoff contention in the Eastern Conference. The Nets, to me, barring a miracle, are going to be pretty much irrelevant, at least for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, unless they are able to drive such a hard bargain that the Phoenix Suns include Devin Booker, which to me is an absolute pipe dream. Unless they're able to land that level of superstar, we've seen these kind of deals go down before. You never get back fair value for them.
DeAndre Ayton and draft picks is not going to turn around the Nets' fortunes overnight. No. That's not going to happen. But let me ask you this question, though, because you brought it up. And you know, Sean Marks or whoever the hell is going to be calling the shots for the Nets, they could sit there and hold out and pound the table and say, we want Devin Booker. Probably aren't going to get it. But let's just say if you're Phoenix, and I know that it's a lot more complicated than this, but if they floated, you know, like a one-for-one, Devin Booker for Kevin Durant, would you do that?
Who am I? Am I Phoenix?
You're Phoenix.
I think I might.
I think you have to.
And Booker's been hurt at times. I know what I am with him. Am I going to be, you know, now look, I'm taking my window of opportunity and I'm making it very, very narrow because I don't, obviously Durant does not have as long as Kevin.
You got 4 years.
Devin Booker. Wow. But is he going to be that same player for 4 years? What's that?
Booker just signed, too. He signed that, what is it, a 4 or 5 year deal? So, I mean, but let's just pretend like money and all that stuff, like, because we're not sitting here with the books and we don't know.
Right.
Devin Booker's an all-star. You know, he's very, very good. He's an all-star. Kevin Durant is a superstar. Kevin Durant is an all-time great. Devin Booker may never reach those heights. So I think you have to absolutely, if you're faced with that scenario, and they probably won't be, that's something that absolutely I do if I'm the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. This deal is going to end up being like a good player, maybe two good players, and a bunch of draft picks and some draft swaps. And that's generally how these things go down. It's not, you don't ever get close to dollar for dollar or 75 cents on the dollar value. There's just not that many guys that are as good as Kevin Durant.
By the way, is the NBA the only sport that has the draft swap option with the with
I
the
like
picks?
It, though. I like that. I think
but
it
they
makes
don't do that in the NFL.
I like that option. You know, the fact that you can't trade picks in back-to-back years, so how do we, what do we do? We got to figure out our way around that so we can give something of value to the other team. Pick swaps. The NBA has the offseason down so well. Like, could you imagine if there was a draft lottery in the NFL? The Jets and Giants every year, they'd be locked in. I mean, oh my God, is this the year? Are we going to get the number one? Are we going to be number five? They could put that on pay-per-view. I would be locked in.
Well, right. Think about how the NFL could sell that. I mean, I know that they televise the other ones for the NBA and the NHL. They televise that lottery. Baseball's going to be getting one here soon. But if the NFL had something like that, like they would have they'd have a red carpet. They would have it on network television, probably. It would they'd milk it for maybe like they'd turn it into like a 2 hour special, probably, and they could get away with it because it's the NFL.
It would be
dancing
great.
Bears.
Oh, it would be fantastic. People on tricycles.
Tricycles. Breathing.
Cats playing
breathing
harmonicas.
Fire.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, right. It would be sensational. All right, so I brought up the point. We'll get back to the phones here in a second. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Just in the history of like New York sports, something that has failed to live up to the expectations that were set. And these expectations, you could not have any higher expectations than what the Brooklyn Nets had. This was not, hey, maybe they'll win a championship. This was the dawn of a new era. This was the championship express runs through Brooklyn. And it's just a question of how many titles these two guys win together. and they win one playoff series. The only one that really comes to mind to me was Greg Jeffries. Greg Jeffries was not just a top prospect for the Mets. He was seen as the top prospect in baseball. If I had to read one more story about how Greg Jeffries swung a bat underwater.
That's right.
And his father had him locked in and he was going to be the next baseball superstar. He swung the bat from both sides. He was going to be able to take the Mets to a whole new level. He was going to be unbelievable. And now look, he had a decent career, but he never reached those type of heights. Now that's not even, to me, not even that one is close to what happened in Brooklyn, but that's the top one that came to mind. Do you have an example of one for you, Dan?
Well, you went player. I thought that you were going to go team.
I don't think that there's an example of a team.
Well, it wasn't over a, let's say, multiple year period, but I mean, if you want to keep it Mets, remember the worst team money could buy?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Bobby Bonilla, Brett Saberhagen, Eddie Murray, the brand new manager in Torborg. What was that, 92, 91, 92? I can't even remember
somewhere
anymore.
Somewhere, I think it was 92.
Right. On paper, you know, you had the Vince Colemans of the world. On paper, that team was stacked. They thought that they were going to load up. They brought Willie Randolph back to play second base, and things were going to be great for the Mets. You know, we speak about Bobby Bonilla on Bobby Bonilla Day, and it was a disaster. That was a calamity, but that was only 1 year. And baseball may be a different, you know, the way the game is structured, of course. Basketball, two guys like KD, Kyrie, can make a difference, can deliver you a championship. Mm-hmm. Baseball, it's a little bit more complicated than that, as evidenced by what's going on in Anaheim with the Angels and, you know, Trout and Ohtani and stuff. But that's probably the closest thing I can think of here, at least in New York, as far as teams are concerned, where you thought like, oh, wow, like on paper, they loaded up. This is definitely, you know, has a good shot of happening. And it was a disaster.
Yeah, and even the one that the Nets did with bringing in KG and Pierce and all them, I mean, there was a thought that they were going to take a leap forward, but I never got the sense that, wow, the Nets are now going to be a championship contender when that move was made. Certainly not to the degree that this one was. And this one was, everybody was on board. Oh, my God, it was going to be Titletown USA to the Brooklyn Nets.
And you had Durant coming off of an injury, too. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, but do you remember that there was at least somewhat of a concern 3 years ago that, hey, is Durant going to be the same? You know, this is an injury where, you know, where he is in his career, maybe he's not the same type of player, and what type of a toll is it going to take on him and whatnot? And he sat out that whole first year. But I don't think you had to worry about it. And, you know, the kind of limbo moment for this run, even though it was all too brief, it was just a couple of years of them together, was Kevin Durant's foot, right? Kevin Durant's foot being half a size too big, and it was on the three-point line against the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. And if that's a three, they win the series, and then who the heck knows? Maybe that was going to be his shining moment, because Harden was hurt, Kyrie was hurt. Imagine if Kevin Durant then took a team on his back and they would have been playing the Atlanta Hawks in the conference finals. You know, you don't think KD could have taken down the Atlanta Hawks in that conference final? And if he gets to the NBA finals, who the hell knows? Maybe he delivers Brooklyn a championship, but we're never going to know.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
In the arms of the angel, fly away.
I'm done. What are you doing?
Cockroaches.
Yeah, you grow up.
You dig?
I do it for the loves.
Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
From your silent
reverie. What a 3 years. What a. You look at the resume. Whew. A lot. A lot to take in 3 years.
We'll
if somebody just woke up from a coma
win.
and the day after the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving headed to Brooklyn and they said, hey, I remember right before I collapsed that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are headed, we're headed to the Nets. How'd it turn out?
By the first off, there's a lot to unpack there. Like, imagine, all right, let's, for argument's sake,
there's got to be somebody somewhere.
But if you're, even if you are a sycophant and your priorities are clearly askew,
right?
Imagine being in a coma for 3 years, and one of the first things out of your mouth is, "How have the Brooklyn Nets been?"
Like, you're a diehard fan. You're one of those nine guys.
You know what?
Who was
you could be a diehard fan, but I would think that if you were comatose for 3 years, that period of time, I would still think that there's got to be at least 6 to 7 things that you at least prioritize, that you check on, you inquire about before the Brooklyn Nets even surface to the conversation.
Fair. But after you're done with those 6 or 7 things, you say, oh, yeah, by the way, the last thing I was doing was reading about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming to the Brooklyn Nets. How did that turn out? You would the person who was explaining to you, they'd almost have to do like the Ace Ventura where they suck in their well, the way it turned out, there's a lot to unpack.
Indeed.
A lot to unpack. All right,
you could,
1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, yeah.
Yeah, use the Ishtar comparison. It's like, well, you do, remember before you went into the coma, remember once upon a time there was that movie Ishtar?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of how that turned out. That's the Brooklyn Nets.
Final season of Game of Thrones. That's the Brooklyn Nets. It did not turn out well. Interestingly enough, it did not turn out well. All right, a lot of people want to chime in on this. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. D is in Queens. He has been holding for a very long time. D, my friend, good morning.
Hey, hello?
Yeah, D, what's going
on? What's up, D?
I gave you a good morning, and it's completely through you.
I think a lot of people owe James Harden an apology. Yes, he's flamed out in the playoffs, but I heard people talking about he's a bad guy. He's a quitter. He's a this. He's a that.
Well, he did quit.
He first saw this madness.
Well, ask the Houston Rockets how they feel about James Harden. Remember, before the Brooklyn thing happened, there was him lollygagging in
Houston. I think they want to build a statue because their team is better off because of their trade.
Well, they're better off because the trade, because James Harden forced his way. Right,
yeah.
They're not better off because of James Harden. They're better off because of what they got for James Harden eventually after he quit on them and then went to the Nets and then quit on them.
So is he supposed to stay there? Because the media likes to selectively pick facts. He's supposed to stay there and waste his career and not win? Because the team with the owner, the ownership changed, and the new owner wasn't going to spend money to build a team around him.
D, when you force the hand of an organization who has handed you everything and done everything that you wanted, and you pick your spot, and you say, no, I will now only go to Brooklyn because that's where I'm going to ride the coattails of Kevin Durant towards a championship. And then things go wrong. Things go askew. They don't go exactly the way you wanted. And then I think it was less than a calendar year later, you beg out of that organization as well. You don't get credit for it. You don't go, oh, you know what? You can't blame the guy. No, we can absolutely blame the guy.
You know what it is? On these like guys like, you know, James Harden, Kevin Durant, you know, on one hand, they're going to tell you how great they are and how,
and
you know, they're all-time greats. And they're going to remind you every 5 minutes just how talented and how much money they should earn and all these things. But then on the flip side, when it comes time to actually proving it on the court and maybe having to do things the hard way and actually, oh, I don't know, rely on their ability and all this immense talent that they claim to have, that's when they want to take a free pass and then go take the easy way out. See, you can't have it both ways. And that's why I say again, when it comes time to looking at modern day players here in the NBA and when we want to stack them up historically, they lose points, in my opinion, because too many of them want to take the easy way out.
Lou is in Jersey. Lou, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Lou?
Is that it? You just want to say
good morning?
Apparently.
Lou?
Lou's a big good morning guy.
That was the Brooklyn Nets of phone calls. Lou held on for like over an hour, finally said good morning, and apparently good morning is all he wanted to say.
Lou was on hold longer than the Brooklyn Nets were together.
Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
Wow, that was disappointing. All right, let's go out to, let's see here. Mike is in Queens. Mike, you're next up on DPH Run Rock.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, Mike.
That,
you know, the blame here goes to the owners, and not only the Nets owner, but every owner that has empowered players. I mean, you know, Kevin Durant is a transcendent talent. One, at the end of the day, he's going to be one of the best players ever, ever to touch the basketball and lays them up. However, you cannot allow players to have control over this. The Nets had a good team going. They had a great coach, and they had a good culture coming up bringing. Then you get seduced by bringing these superstars, and this is what happened. And going back to your point earlier, I will not make that threat of Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Because although Kevin Durant most likely will push the Suns to, like, maybe a conference final or maybe a final, what is to tell you that he's not going to do the same thing when something happens, when Chris Paul gets hurt, when they don't see eye to eye with somebody else? You have something good going on in the Suns. You just need a couple more pieces to build it. And, you know, again, you know, you get these superstars in your building, and you gave them all the power they want to sign up with the coach, to sign up with the free agent players that they want, and everything that they want. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't need a owner. You don't need a...
Well, here's all I know. Mike, and thanks for the phone call. You can say, and you said he could push them to the conference finals or the finals. I mean, okay, the next step is ultimately the championship. So if he could get them that far, I think he could get them to the top of the heap there. Say what you want about who's in Phoenix right now, whether it's Devin Booker, whether it's Chris Paul, whatever. None of those guys have rings. Kevin Durant has a ring. Kevin Durant's got multiple rings. He's got two finals MVPs. I like my chances of winning the title if I'm I know that there's contractually the letter of the law with the NBA and stuff like that. They can't trade Devin Booker for Kevin Durant. It's all a complicated thing. But I'll still take my chances. I'd rather have KD than those other two guys if you're giving me my druthers.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Phoenix Suns are very close to the mountaintop, and they need that piece to put them over the top, and Kevin Durant might be that. But for the Brooklyn Nets, you know, you can blame ownership. The problem with that is that we all agree that ownership got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving by turning over the organization to them. So if they're the ones that had the power, they're the ones that deserve the blame. And the Nets, as an organization, here's the thing. The Nets as a team, whoever the owner is, they're going to be the ones that are paying the price for this for a very long time. Kevin Durant's not going to really pay any price for this. He's going to be off on the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat, or whoever he ends up getting traded to. And the only thing that the Nets will end up getting out of this is a blueprint for how not to build a super team. That will be what they get out of the entire deal.
And that's why, you know, we brought it up earlier in the show. Like, I do think that to some teams and to some organizations out there, the smart ones, I think they're going to look at this, what's happened in Brooklyn, as a cautionary tale. And to just be a little bit more careful as to turning over your franchise to, let's say, two superstars that certainly can blow the whole thing up from within, like what happened in Brooklyn, and they don't want to go down that same road again. And look, I hope that happens, because I don't personally think that it's great for the NBA. I really don't. These concepts of... I think it creates maybe some outside interest to where people are going to root against them. Like, they become like the evil empire, and fans are just going to like, oh, I just hope that team doesn't win. Because I think to a lot of people in the NBA across the country, Gordon, the Nets were looked at as the evil empire the last couple of years. I don't think you rooted for them. You rooted for a team like that to lose.
Yeah, I will disagree with you, though. I think that this is fantastic for the NBA. I mean, people absolutely eat this up. The offseason is spectacular. And, you know, for an offseason that it didn't seem like, first day of free agency, there's going to be moves made. It's exciting if you're an NBA fan, if you're a Knicks fan, getting Jalen Brunson. All of a sudden, that bomb, that Woj bomb, gets dropped yesterday. And all of us have been spinning like a top ever since. So I don't know. You know, the fact that the NBA, there's a negative aspect to it, I guess, because there is no loyalty to any organization. But in terms of content in the offseason, it's kind of hard to top it. It's sensational content to have an offseason where you're thinking about this superstar going here, and it's every year. Every single year, somehow, they top the year before. And this one is already off to a great start, and it's not even close to being done.
But that's why I think over the last 15, 20 years in the NBA, the two championships that resonate and I think over time will mean the most, Dirk and the Mavericks in, what was that, 2011, when they beat LeBron and Wade and Bosch the first year they were together. Because, you know what, that's a dude who toughed it out all those years with Dallas, came up short, finally got there, and beat a super team in the Heat. And then what Giannis did a couple of years ago with the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, deciding to stay, you know, Giannis could have left.
Absolutely.
Giannis could have, you know, chased the championship and signed up. No, but you know what? He kept falling short in the playoffs, and it was, oh, why can't Milwaukee get over the hump? Well, you know what? They finally got there. So to me, Milwaukee and then what Dirk and Dallas did, those are the two championships that I think to me mean the most as far as what's happened in this league.
Jack is in Rockaway. Jack, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
How you doing, guys? I'm a lifelong Brooklyn, New Jersey Nets fan. I go back to Dennis Hopson, draft picks, Chris Morris, Ed O'Bannon, the Izod Center, the Prudential Center. I've suffered. So I was, of course, like everyone else, I was really excited when we put these two players together. And then when we added Harden, and now in hindsight, I'm looking at the biggest mistake they made was hiring Steve Nash as a coach. It reminds me of like when I was a kid going to a substitute teacher coming to class. Every post game, every turnover was a high five. Every post game,
but Jack, that wasn't the biggest mistake. Steve Nash is immaterial in this whole thing. He's a puppet.
I'm just saying that you put this guy in the ringleader. You can't make a house on a cracked foundation. Irving is a cracked foundation. You have Durant and Irving, and I don't blame Harden for getting out of that. From what I saw, he was the only normal guy out of the three of them. He saw what was going on, and he got the hell out of there. But also in hindsight, imagine we signed these three guys to 5-year deals, which we were trying to do after the pandemic. We would have been eroded for the next 5 years with $50 million salaries on these guys and giving Houston our lottery picks. So we still have a lot of talent. The team won 43 games this year without the third best three-point shooter of all time, Harris, without Ben Simmons playing 1 minute. We have a lot of talent. Most of the players are coming back, and Durant's still under contract. And I believe March is going to take his time and either get Durant back in the team or he's going to get a haul for him. I don't see Durant being traded, a knee-jerk reaction. I could even see him going into the season as a Net and seeing what happens. But we're not devoid of talent. When this isn't back in the 90s and the 80s when they were the laughing stock of the league. The team is pretty much stacked, very talented. There's no bad contracts. And we have some picks going forward. So I'm not super depressed about this.
Jack, you are. I swear, Jack, I'll tell you, I don't know if you're busy this weekend, but I need you at my 4th of July shindig and bring whatever the hell you've been drinking. Because I don't know how you can look at this situation with the Brooklyn Nets right now and remain optimistic. I mean, you're going to sit there and tell me that because you got Joe Harris coming back and Nick Claxton is sticking around and Patty Mills that, oh my God, and Ben Simmons at the future. Ben Simmons is like the Loch Ness Monster. It's only a rumor that he exists, but we haven't seen him. I mean, that is what you're getting excited about with the Brooklyn Nets. And Kevin Durant's not playing for this team again because at this point, the Nets shouldn't want him back either. Even if Kevin Durant wakes up tomorrow and says, I don't really mean it. I want to be a Net. I'd be like, enough is enough. You're gone. We're not going down this road anymore.
Yeah,
the ship has sailed. It's over.
And to me, he says that Steve Nash was the mistake. To me, if you were to pinpoint one thing, it's Kevin Durant attaching his wagon to Kyrie Irving. That's where the whole thing started to spiral out of control. And then adding Harden, that whole deal, that was a mess. It's hard to pick just one.
I'm trying to add it up right now. Kevin Durant, in the 2 years that he played with the Brooklyn Nets, including the playoffs, appeared in a grand total of 106 games. As a Brooklyn Net, 106 games. And he got one playoff series victory to show for it.
I think the number was 41% of the games.
Kyrie played in 103 and he missed more than 103.
Yeah. I think it was 41 or 42%. Yeah. I mean, it's an all-timer, man. It's an all-timer. Anthony is in Brooklyn. Anthony, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Listen, I wasn't a Kevin Durant fan when he came to the Nets, but I tell you one thing. The guy, every single night during the playoffs, during the regular season, left it all out on the floor. It was just loved watching him play every night. The Nets are out of their mind, okay? You can't make a deal with the devil and then think you're going to go against it. you knew that these two were like a pair of shoes. Say what you want about Kyrie. Once the COVID stuff was lifted in New York, he was playing. You have a team between the two of them, Ben Simmons, Harris coming back, the players that you got from Philly. You know, you got like there's four or five free agents that they could just let go. This could, they could easily win the championship the next couple of years. How do you offset Kevin Durant?
This is what spiraling sounds like. This is Anthony in that phone call just went through the five stages of grief. There was anger, there was bargaining, there was depression, there was everything.
What championship is he talking about? The G League championship?
I'm not exactly sure.
And you know what? God bless him. I know that he was in a couple 3-point shootouts, but when I mean, like you said, it's the stages of grief and processing loss and all these things. But during those stages, apparently, if you're a Nets fan or somebody that has an interest in the team, apparently you have now elevated and vaulted Joe Harris into this like mythical figure.
Do you forget last time Joe Harris was in a playoff series vomiting all over himself? I mean, he was brutal in that. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He was like Santiago at the celebrity softball game.
I would love, like, Joe Harris wakes up this morning and he's become, like I said, like a legend. Like a legend. Because now he's all they got. And to Net fans, they're going to, Net fans next, you know what the next move is, Gordon? They're going to try to convince you that Seth Curry is basically
just
Steph
the same.
Curry.
Right.
Yeah. He's Steph Curry.
It's only a couple of letters off.
Right.
Steph. It's very, right. very close. Curry is exactly the same. Whew. Oh, my Lord.
Might as well have Del Curry.
They're not many of them, but boy, oh, boy, they are spiraling. They got the tinfoil hats on. The flags are out there waving them. They are all over the map. Well, Dan, this has been an absolute pleasure. We're going to do it again next week, filling in for the K Show.
But yes, that's right.
3 hours have flown by, and it's already time for 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
Oh, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Every year, July 1st, $1.19 million deposited into the bank account of one Bobby Bonilla. I believe this goes to 2035, is it, guys?
Yes, 2035.
Yes, it does.
Celebration. I didn't see the Mets put out a press release. Remember last year they had the celebration for it where they were having the B&B, Airbnb rentals at Citi Field. But
oh, that's right.
I don't know if that's going to be a thing this year. Steve Cohen, please let us know what's going on.
Number 2.
The Mets. I mean, RJ brought up a great point during one of the breaks in here. I'm really going to miss this team. I'm really going to miss the content they gave us over the last 2 years out of absolutely nothing. All these great drops.
What are you doing?
Cockroaches.
I do it for the loves.
I'm done.
This James Harden thing, which always gets forgotten.
What's up, Nets fans? It's James Harden. For a limited time, I'll cover half of your tickets. We got to get Barclays Center rocking. All right, go get your tickets now. Use the code Harden. You dig?
The people I feel the worst for are anybody in that is a Nets season ticket holder that re-upped within the last few months because now...
Gotta be somebody.
Good luck reselling those.
Hope they kept the receipt.
Good luck reselling those on SeatGeek going forward. Tough job.
Number 1.
Shout out to you guys on the fill-in. The R&R boys are R&R-ing, but you guys...
Have not been missed.
I don't know if you prefer the D&D boys or the G&G boys, but... proud of both of you. Thank you for filling in. Great job by both of you this week. In spite of Gordon's many, many shots at me over the last couple of days, I do appreciate it.
Well, I brought it up earlier in the week. To fit in with the group, you got to lash out every once in a while. So that's what I have done. And all joking aside, to RJ, to Santiago, to Rick before he completely bailed on the situation, this has been a pleasure filling in. I hope to get a chance to do it again soon. And with Dave's vacation schedule, I'm sure there's at least a good possibility that in the next couple of weeks I probably will. Dan, thanks for waking up. Thanks for setting the alarm. And next week, a little bit more of a normal schedule filling in for the K-Show. Huh?
We're going to have some fun. We get an extra hour to do it next week, each one of those days. So, yes, we will have some fun, and I'm sure more Net shenanigans to talk about.
I will be back tomorrow filling in for Dave at 9, and we will see you then. DiPietro and Rothenberg out for the week, 98.7 FM. ESPN, New York.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.